the key takeaway is to partner with legal and then also work with legal to develop a policy of what employees should do on the web, and then the training should definitely be an opt-in.
This is podtech.net. Welcome to Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of innovative marketing leaders and examining how social media is changing marketing throughout the world. Here's your host, Jennifer Jones.
Hi, this is Jennifer Jones, and today on Marketing Voices, I have Scott Wilder, who's the Intuit Group Manager of the Small Business Division, and he oversees a Quicken Community website, QuickBooks website, and accounting website. He'll tell us about it in a second. So welcome to Marketing Voices.
Thank you, Jennifer.
And so why don't you just first give us an overview of what Intuit is doing in the social media space and how you kind of look at social media.
Sure. So in the Small Business Division, we have the, as you said, the QuickBooks and Quicken and Accountant Online Community websites. And in terms of what makes up social media, we have traditional internet discussion boards or forums. And then we also have blogs. We also have ways for users to submit, whether it's articles or any type of content. And now we're having users submit what the industry knows as podcasts. So we have podcasts on there. And really what we're trying to do is create a platform where users can contribute, whether it's content, meaning text or audio, and eventually maybe evolve into submitting even small applications.
Okay, so what have you found works best? That's sort of a very broad question, but try to zone in and say, okay, of all the stuff we're doing, this is what's been the best.
Yeah, so definitely with our audience, discussion boards have definitely been the most popular thing. And I think, you know, when I go talk to people in the industry, they're like, well, you got to blog, you got to create blogs, this and that. But I think it's really important to understand your audience. And our audience, small businesses are very busy, and are also, some of them are fairly new to internet web 2.0 technology. So discussion boards have been definitely the most popular tool that users are using. I think the second thing is we've really set up tools for users to own the community. And what we mean by that is we do have moderators from Intuit, but we really also have another group of individuals called All-Stars. And the All-Stars can be accountants, they can be power users, and we really look at them to enforce the community. In other words, determine, you know, if there's any problems with postings or things like that, they report them. They're the ones who are answering most of the questions. It's not Intuit. So I think that's the second thing. And the third thing is everybody wants to do everything at once. You know, it's like the bouillabaisse soup. They want to throw everything in. But the reality is you really need to start simple, because users are, especially our users, they're using a fairly new technology to them. And so you want to start it slow, do something they're comfortable with, and instead of just adding things on, you also want to get their feedback, and that takes time.
Okay, so explain a little bit about how you implemented all of this when you first started doing it, which was just, you've only been in the job a year and a half, so walk me through that a little bit so people can understand the process of trying to get this done inside a company.
Yeah, so I'll start off just backtracking even beyond that. So I joined Intuit about 3 years ago, and I was hired to oversee one of their e-commerce sites. And I thought the best way to understand customers' pain points or the type of jobs they do for their business was to go to the call center and listen to customers calling up and asking questions. And what I learned right away is every small business thinks they're different. And every small business has lots and lots of questions. So Jennifer, if you own your own retail store, and I'm a lawyer, and we both use QuickBooks, we both use the same product, we're gonna have slightly different needs, because you're selling product and I'm selling services. So all of a sudden, my heart went out to these guys answering the phone saying, how can they, you know, they're really strong and understand QuickBooks, but how can they answer all these questions? So it became evident that we needed to do, to create a user-created community, a community where users could help each other to get all those questions answered. So that was the kind of the first thing. The second thing was a lot of companies put their online communities in the marketing and service organizations. When we put this together, we really wanted to be in the product group, because we thought that was a wonderful way to create a listening outpost for our product managers and our product developers. All of a sudden, you know, it's in their group. I'm in staff meetings with them, so it's closer to them. And also, I think it brought the users closer to the product managers as well, who are answering questions. So, you know, your question about how to sell it to senior management. So it first started off as a Skunkworks kind of project where we had two people working on it, me and somebody else. And once we got traction, then we knew that The two of us knew that we really needed to present it to senior management. So we did the following things. The first thing I did was partner with legal.
Huh.
You know,
great.
I have a little slogan in the company that legal is not evil. So I partnered with legal to really understand all the legal implications. Secondly, I partnered with corporate communications because this was a way that we were going to be interacting with users, and they're obviously interacting with users all the time. So working with them, we then, the three of us, partnered to put together a presentation and sit down with senior management talking about what we were solving for with the community, which was basically getting users' questions answered and doing it in a quick way. And then also talking about the implementation strategy and what we wanted to accomplish. So that was kind of at the global level, senior management, to Steve Bennett, the CEO, and his staff. Then we also went to the general managers of each business unit and did more of a grassroots effort in really trying to explain to them what it means to their business, how it's going to help their business. So those were just kind of two or three of the different ways that we sold it internally.
So what was the reception? Did everybody go, Yahoo, let's go? Or was it really a lot of pushback? Or?
Well, I think it's really important to understand the roots of the company to answer that question. So I think, you know, understanding the customer, getting close to the customer is really in our DNA.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, you know, Scott Cook, who you mentioned earlier, who founded the company, one of his first policies was to ask marketing managers to wait out retail stores when people bought our products and then follow them and then ask them if they could follow them home and see how they use the product. So that's the infamous Intuit Follow Me Home policy, which does exist, and our Follow Me Home program. And we're basically said to senior management, this is just another way of doing it. You know, we do usability, we do the Follow Me Homes, and this is just another way of getting close to our customer. So I think that was the first key point. Everybody on Steve Bennett's direct staff thought this was a great idea. And as Steve Bennett said, you know, we hire employees, therefore we trust them, you know, to be involved in online communities. And that was really the result of, we also developed a corporate online communications policy for helping employees understand how they should interact on online communities. And I think that's really key too. So internally we say we created guardrails and guideposts to help employees understand how they can interact in the community. And then, you know, we also said that's just in case, you know, employee gets on there and doesn't know what to do. So we had an opt-in training program for employees as well. But I think it's also, so those are kind of the key things. And it's also important to point out that this is a community for the users, and we're really looking at the users to help each other. It's not scalable for us to keep throwing internal employees or bodies at the community to answer users' questions. And we really try and ingrain that in the community, that the only way this is going to survive is if other users jump on and help.
It's impressive. So this legal point was really key. I think a lot of people haven't gone that way. So jumping sort of back to the community and building community and providing guardrails, do you have a lot of bloggers inside Intuit?
We have a decent amount. You know, it's not, I think we're more consumer package driven than some of the other companies that you might be thinking about, such as Microsoft, which is more of a technology company. So I think a higher percentage of their employees are online. But it's really the really interesting culture here, because as soon as we launched the community, employees were asking me, how should we behave online? Should we create our own blogs? What are some guidelines to do that? So rather than just having my group go off and say, go do it, we really developed a whole in-house training program. Wow. So we have our policy, we have an opt-in training program, and then we have a train the trainer program. So out of the 7,000 employees, probably 2,000 have been through this program. And it's still evolving, because you think about, there's one or two people who are giving the training, and then the trainers have to share it with their different locations. So we have an office in Tucson and San Diego and Mountain View, California. But employees really love the training, and we keep updating it as web technologies evolve. So, you know, if you and I were talking 6 months ago or 8 months ago, we probably wouldn't be talking about video on the web.
Right.
But now that's part of our policy. We just have to make sure that, you know, the policy addresses that. But I think the key takeaway is to partner with legal, and then also work with legal to develop a policy of what employees should do on the web, and then the training should definitely be an opt-in. You know, we're all adults. I think senior management realizes that. And the employees here at the company as I said earlier, have really, they've reached out to us faster than we could say, hey, we have this training program.
Yeah, no, very impressive. So what, we were talking earlier before the podcast went live about actually your experience with podcasts. So explain to me, again, what you were talking to me offline so that the listeners
sure.
can hear it.
So podcast is an interesting term. So when we first launched the site and we introduced some podcasts, I noticed that users were not going to that part of the site. So Intuit, you know, I talked about customer interactions in our DNA. I think research and, you know, usability is also in our DNA and really talking to customers. So we actually did some usability studies to try and find out why users were not clicking on the podcast link. And what we learned was they didn't understand what the podcast term meant, and they assumed they had to have an iPod to listen to it. So it was really interesting. And you know,
was this just recently? Like, how? Give me some time frame.
Yeah, this was. Yeah. I can tell you exactly. This was about 8 months ago.
Jeez.
Yeah, so 8 months ago, and if you look at the adoption rate of users using podcasts, you know, you do have the younger Gen Y generation. You do have the more tech savvy folks. Well, these guys, meaning the small businesses, are kind of in the in between. You know, they're a little bit older. They probably retired from another business that they've created. You know, now they're doing it on their own. And they're just not as comfortable with technology. And that's not a criticism. But then it's our responsibility to understand how we can help them be comfortable in using the technology and show them that it's something that they can benefit from. So we tested out a number of terms in addition to podcasts. And at the end of the day, the term that resonated the most with these small businesses was radio on demand. So we now on the website call it radio on demand. We're just in the process now of revisiting that to see, has the web or the small business owners who use the web evolved to the point where they understand what a podcast is. So it's one of those things we just keep tracking over time, and it just really reinforces the importance of understanding how your users feel about technology.
Yeah, no, it's very impressive. So what about the future? What are some key tools for the future, and how do you look at the future of all this?
Yeah. Well, I think the online community group here, we really look at ourselves as building tools for users to help other users. So I think there'll be continued evolution of those tools where it's easy to contribute content. I think in the very short term, we'll start adding video to the site, and that's video how-tos, like how to use our products, or small business testimonials where we could have a small business owner talk about how they solved a problem. I think eventually you'll have user created widgets or applications that they'll share with each other. I think that's another thing we'll add. And
give me an example of that. Like, what do you mean there?
So, for example, on Yahoo and some of the other sites, you can find that users created a little calendar widget or application. Think about if these applications help small businesses perform their day-to-day operations easier. So. A calendar is one thing. It could be just a simple, you know, I go to Yahoo and I look at one of the widgets. One of the widgets is for a nonprofit so they can keep track of fundraising. So a user developed that widget. So now you can imagine if that's compatible with QuickBooks, or even if it's not compatible, we have a platform where we're reaching hundreds of thousands and eventually millions of small businesses. So it's a great platform for us to help small businesses or developers get their information out. You know, we're not about marketing the products on the site. We're about helping users solve other users' problems or helping users get their answers.
Which ultimately markets it, because you're solving it, you know, you're really doing what everybody should be doing, listening to your customers and helping them solve their problems.
So, exactly.
Yeah.
And then I think there'll be more integration with the product development. So we sit in the product development group, as I mentioned earlier. And I could see our users even more involved, not just in the beginning where we find out their needs or the end where they test the product, but they could be developing the products alongside with us. And I think the last thing is we can't forget that it's not just online, it's offline as well. So we actually have a map on the site where you can find meetup or offline get-togethers where small businesses are getting together talking about their problems. You just type in your zip code, you see the address, and then you can go to these get-togethers. It has the data as well. So I think there's going to be more and more integration of how online facilitates offline interaction. And I think that's something that often gets overlooked. You know, the word of mouth association has documented that Most word of mouth is done offline, and so I think that's something we really need to remember.
Yeah, very good. Well, this has been a very helpful podcast. So I've been talking to Scott Wilder, who's the group manager of the small business divisions here at Intuit. And thank you so much for joining me in Marketing Voices.
Thank you very much, Jennifer.
And to all the listeners, until next week, may all the voices you hear be Marketing Voices.